Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Kyle Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at KyleYNFL. Yates, how you be?
Doing all right. My son's daycare got shut down due to a positive COVID test. So we are navigating the work from home lifestyle with a 2-year-old. So I have listened to the song Baby Shark way more times than I can count this morning. So if I just randomly start humming that, you know why. But no, I'm doing all right.
Is he going to pop in on this show? Because I fully encourage that. I mean, my kids basically do my Instagram live on Sunday mornings for me. So I'm fully in favor of kids popping on the podcast. Is he coming in or what?
He's only 2, so he hasn't learned how to turn the doorknob yet. But if we hear like a loud pounding on the door, that would be him.
All right. I expect some Hamilton lyrics if he does come in, because I do know he knows that, right? He's all
yep,
up on it.
He does.
All right, good enough
he
for does. Me. All right, guys, I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that this is going to be a fantastic show, like fantastic, off the charts, best show ever. However, it is our last trade show. That doesn't make any sense, but you know what I'm saying. This is the last time we're going to really be talking trades, because most leagues have actually passed their trade deadlines already. There are a few who are outstanding, so we're going to keep going. We're going to shift the focus a little bit going forward. Still going to be here on Tuesdays, absolutely. But we're going to change focus a little bit, a little more rest of season, looking more at the playoffs, a little dynasty, so Yates can really spread his wings and fly. But for today, we are going to start, of course, breaking down yesterday's game, and I'm going to really lengthen that conversation so Yates can really kind of dig into it. We're going to be talking the trades. As you know, most traded players. We'll talk about some rest of season risers, some fallers, some buy low, sell high candidates. And then we'll close, of course, with a listener mailbag. But I'm very, very excited to welcome today's guest, Trevor Sikkema, the senior NFL writer over at the Draft Network. You can find him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. That's T-R-E. I hope I pronounced that right. Trevor, welcome. How you doing?
You nailed it, man. You nailed the Twitter handle. You nailed the last name. And as somebody who grew up playing hockey, wishing that the announcers could just for once get his last name correct when he scored a goal, I really appreciate anybody who can nail it on the first time of a podcast. So it is so great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
I mean, the number of times I was called like Harris or Harris and stuff like that, I agree
yours
with you.
Yours ain't last even difficult. Name, come
it's
on,
just
man.
Tough, man. Get it going. Get it together over there.
The double K's in my last name. I don't know why. People read it and they just start sweating hard. And so I really appreciate you nailing it.
So I know, but I think our listeners would benefit from knowing, why is your Twitter handle Tampa Bay Trey?
Yes. So I am from Florida. I'd rather not be called a Florida man, but I suppose, you know, you guys could do that for the jokes. But yeah, I'm from just south of Tampa, Florida, covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 3 years as the beat reporter for PeterReport.com. And so it was just very easy, kind of rolled off the tongue. Tampa Bay Trey was able for me to kind of create that identity there. And the reason why it is still Tampa Bay Trey, even though I don't live in Tampa anymore, is because, well, quite frankly, if I change my Twitter handle, I will lose my verification check. So I am not about to do that. Not yet.
I mean, you have the game figured out. Do you actually still, I do want to ask this, I don't know the answer. Do you have any sort of additional connection still to the Bucks or from sources or anything like that from your time essentially writing about the Bucks? Or are you just on the same plane?
Right. It was so I stopped covering them full time just last year. So it's still very fresh for me. And so, you know, I know a lot of the media members down there very well. I still know some of the players in the locker room and everything like that. Interesting enough for this podcast, because of certain fantasy implication news, I covered basically every snap and every throw that Jameis Winston ever took during his time in Tampa Bay. And so, yeah, I still have plenty of my roots there in Tampa that I could tap into.
Well, we'll certainly be talking about a player, at least at some point today, who certainly has impacted by the Jameis Winston taking over at quarterback for the Saints. Don't know exactly how long, but probably for the foreseeable future. So anyway, we're going to get into trades. We're going to, as we always do, first, we're going to start with last night's game. Of course, Yates, I'm sorry. But I will remind you, since we'll be talking trades, that you should go over and check out our trade analyzer over at My Playbook. It helps you see whether or not a trade helps your team. You can view power rankings before and after a trade. You can get support for uneven trades. You can get support for trading draft picks in dynasty leagues. It does all of that for you. It's available over at My Playbook, along with a million other tools, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Vikings 19, Bears 13. It's all right. It's okay. It's going to be fine. Look, the game turned a bit here. I mean, there was no offense to speak of for the Bears, but certainly defensively, when Hicks left that game, things sort of opened up, at least for the running game. Cook winds up with 112 yards on a whopping 34 touches. Kirk Cousins throws for 292 yards, two touchdowns, both to Adam Thielen, who has only 43 yards. And Justin Jefferson, big game here, 10 targets, 8 catches, 135 yards. So just a pretty good day for the Vikings offense all around. They've got Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville for the next three. So Trevor, just what are your thoughts here on sort of the outlook from a fantasy standpoint of pretty much every skill player here on the Vikings?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, just starting off in Minnesota, everybody likes to point to the offense running through Dalvin Cook. And I agree. It obviously does. They need Dalvin Cook to play well. Kirk Cousins has proven that if you continue to lean on him, it's not exactly great in the win-loss column. So he's not going to be, I don't think, this giant volume 300-plus yard passer that maybe he was a little bit in the past for Washington. That's just not the formula for the Vikings to win, certainly not this year. And so you're going to see them lean on Dalvin Cook plenty, even in weeks where he's not really that effective on the ground like we saw last night. But I'll tell you, the biggest catalyst to me, yeah, it runs through Dalvin Cook, but this doesn't happen without Justin Jefferson. And I think that they are really realizing that now, that they have a young star in the making. Jefferson, 10 targets, 8 receptions, buck 35 last night. I mean, it just continues to pile on what has been an incredible rookie season for him. And so honestly, if you are looking at a matchup from here on out where you go, hey, I really like this for Minnesota, like I like the matchup they have against the defense they're going up against, a lot of people think Dalvin Cook right away. I'd be thinking Justin Jefferson right away. I mean, these two are 1 and 2. If the Vikings are going to have success, it's both of these players that we're seeing as the formula for it. And so, really, I just could not be more impressed with Jefferson, and I wanted to make sure that I gave him a shout-out because Cook gets all the praise, and deservingly so. He's doing a great job with that ground-and-pound game, but Jefferson's the real deal, man. Even with Adam Thielen and him being a primary target, him getting the 2 touchdowns last night, I get it, but Jefferson's going to continue to get a lot of work, and you're going to get rewarded for him if you keep playing him.
I mean, Yates, right before lock, sometimes Tags will message me and ask me either about my rankings or he can't figure out why his ranking is so far from ECR. And the guy this week, one of the two or three guys, was Jefferson. And he was like, why do you have him 23rd in your wide receiver rankings with the tough matchup? And I was just sort of like, it's Justin Jefferson. Like, I move him down a little bit with the rankings, but in the end, it's somebody who I'm confident, for the most part, is going to be able to produce regardless of the matchup. I know he had a couple down games, but how do you view specifically Jefferson going forward?
Yeah, kid's a stud. I loved him coming out of LSU, had him as my third wide receiver in this 2020 draft class, and loved the talent. And then with him running, of course, that 4-4 at the combine, he proved that he can play everywhere in the alignment. He can play on the outside. He can play out of the slot. He can be a weapon. So he has emerged as a true, like, solid, I mean, from a dynasty perspective, how many wide receivers do we want to take above Justin Jefferson right now? Like, the arrow is just pointing up. His stock is skyrocketing. So moving forward, and especially when you mentioned those matchups, right, when you look at specifically, I mean, like you mentioned, Dallas next week, like, goodness gracious, Justin Jefferson should be in line for a huge workload, huge game yet again. So I downgraded him in my rankings this week too. That was a mistake on my part. I looked at ECR and said, man, I really don't understand why he's so high against the Bears vaulted or vaunted, you know, pass defense. And that was a mistake. Kid's a stud.
Yeah.
Can I ask Kyle? I got to ask, because you said you had Jefferson as wide receiver 3 going into the year from the draft. And clearly, it's a home run. He's playing really well. Which one of the big 3 was he above? CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs?
CeeDee Lamb. I had Lamb at 4.
Okay. All right. I was just curious to which one that you had it for.
I mean, like, I'm the host, Trevor. Like, are you just taking over? Is this what you do? Tags does this all the time. I have booted guests for less than what you did. No, I'm just kidding.
You need a Tony Reale just mute button.
I really do. Oh no, I definitely need the mute button. No, unfortunately, I had budgeted myself coming into the season for, like, I don't know, like 20 podcasts, and I passed that in the first week. So anything you want to do to come in and be the host, I'm all for it. Let's move on to the really, really juicy part of this game. The one team that everybody really wants to talk about, and that's the Bears. Look, this was really, really, really ugly. There's no other way to describe it. Nick Foles, just 106 yards passing. He left late with the hip injury, so there is optimism on that. The latest I saw, you guys can correct me if you've seen anything more recent. They've got the bye, of course, coming up this week. There's optimism that he might be ready to play after the bye. So even though he was carted off, it does look pretty good for him. Your leading wide receiver is Allen Robinson. 9 targets, good. 6 catches, okay. 43 yards, not good. And again, that's your leading receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson, really the main fill-in in the backfield for David Montgomery, out with a concussion, 12 for 30 on the ground. He does have the kickoff return touchdown, which was really the offense for the Bears. So they've got the bye coming up. Yates, I'll let you simmer for a minute, and I'll go to Trevor first. So the way I look at this, I'm still starting Trevor David Montgomery when he's healthy. He's always kind of been just this unexciting RB2 who's going to get the volume. I'll continue to start Allen Robinson because he gets the targets, and, you know, not every game is going to be as bad as this. And then I am ignoring every other Bear for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at those guys, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it's like when you put Montgomery or Allen Robinson in your lineup, you just go, yep. I guess, you know, and it, like, that's just what it is. And to your point, the name of the game with fantasy football is volume and scores. You know, like, that's if you get a guy who has a lot of volume, they're normally just going to get in your lineup because they're going to get the looks. Anytime you get the looks, there's a chance you get the touchdowns. Sure, you might get the yards, but Montgomery gets those at the running back position, and Allen Robinson does get those at the wide receiver position. But man, Nagy and that offense, Matt Nagy, the head coach for Chicago, even though he gave up play calling last night, it was more of the same, which is Nagy was brought into Chicago to bring them creativity. You know, he had been with Andy Reid for most of his career with Philadelphia and then with the Kansas City Chiefs. And the thought was, when the Bears hired him, we are getting the basically that next Sean McVay kind of a vibe. They thought that they were going to get all this creativity. They were going to think outside the box. They were going to do things on offense that nobody else had seen. And they kind of tried to do that with the pieces that they brought in, you know, bringing in Tariq Cohen, having him do some usage there. We see it with Cordarrelle Patterson and their vision there. But they want to get to all the exciting stuff without the baseline offense first to get there and allow those to be effective. That's what it just seems like. Matt Nagy does not have a baseline effective offense, whether it isn't run or pass. It just the identity of what they want to have. I don't know if it's that they don't have one or they're just not good at it. But right now, just as a play-by-play, series-by-series basis, the Bears just don't have it on offense. There's nothing to lean on. There's no calling card. That's just them keeping them wanting to go to these trick, explosive, creative plays without doing the dirty work and setting the foundation to get there. And so that feels like it's been the story of Chicago. And I'm with you. I'm playing those two guys just because they're getting the volume, but there's just not a lot to get excited about when you're playing any Bears player on offense.
So I want to give a shout out to Sean Corner. Everybody who listens to this podcast probably knows him. He's one of the most accurate experts. Last night, he tweeted out something that made me laugh. Will the next Bears possession go? This was in the middle of the game, essentially. Will the next Bears possession go exactly like this? First down, creative 2-yard run. Second down, creative run for no game. Third down, full sack. Fourth down, punt. Announcers gush over how creative the Bears play calling is. And it was 88.2% yes, just to be clear.
When they had like the game on the line basically at the end, they've got a 3rd and 5, gotta right. have it, and they run a wide receiver screen. Like, terrible. What are you yep. doing? That's the thing. They've got all these flash plays, but they've got no baseline and foundation to put them and prop them up on as the game goes on.
Yeah, it's not sure if you watched this game last night, but if you did, why don't you give me your thoughts on it?
This is the worst. So many people ask now that I'm doing this like full time, like, you know, obviously growing up outside Chicago, big Bears fan, like, do you still root for the Bears? Are the Bears your team, or do you kind of just follow, you know, everyone? And the answer is no. I'm a, you know, I grew up outside Chicago. I'm a diehard Bears fan. But this season has made me rethink that a little bit more than I probably have in the past, where I'm like, I could probably look at all the other teams and be a fan of all teams and mm-hmm. be much better off mentally than I am right now. No, Patrick Minnelli put this out on Twitter earlier that Cordarrelle Patterson has more kick return yards than the Bears have rushing yards as a team.
Yeah.
And that not is great. Like the definition of pain.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah. The definition of pain. So
with yeah, that said, Yates, are you, when Montgomery comes back, okay, after the bye, yep. let's assume he does. Because yep. again, David Johnson placed on IR after the concussion, so you never right. know. But assuming that David Montgomery comes back and assuming that it's either at least Nick Foles or Trubisky, they've got Green Bay. I mean, that's a good matchup for opposing running backs. You're still going to start Montgomery?
I mean, we can say with this offense, we can say, yeah, well, this is a good matchup. This is a good matchup. You know, it just doesn't matter. But with David Montgomery, he's going to get enough work that you can't deny what he can be for fantasy purposes. And right now, again, with running backs being the way that they are, we just need volume. So I think an interesting conversation here too is that Nick Foles, yes, is listed as day-to-day, you know, going into their bye with that hip injury. It looked a lot worse than what it sounds like it is. But do they go back to Trubisky? Is that an actual possibility? Because Foles ain't it. He just is not it. Now, Trubisky, we can sit here and say he's not it either, but can he be better than what Foles is? You know, so I just think,
Would that impact the way you feel about the rest of the season if Trubisky is named the starter?
I think it would be a little bit, I mean, there's nowhere to go but up. You know, like we can sit here and say that Trubisky wasn't great, but yet he's better than Foles in what we've seen so far this year. So it could be presenting more scoring opportunities for David Montgomery. Not a lot, but more.
All right. Well,
more than zero.
Yeah, more than zero, which is good. But that is our Bears quota. All right, guys, look, it's week 11. We are rapidly approaching the point, if not having reached the point, where fantasy managers are giving up on their teams. I hope that's not you. I hope you are charging ahead to the playoffs, and we are here to help you all the way. But if that's you, or better yet, if you just want to add a little fun to your fantasy football experience, come play on FanDuel. You can create a new team each week. If you've never played on FanDuel, do not be afraid. The app, super easy to use and intuitive. You're going to know exactly what to do, how to do it the second you get on it. Second, they have contests for your skill level. If you're a beginner, enter contests with other beginners and you can compete for cash payouts. And look, maybe you're a little nervous because you haven't done it before. So you're nervous about playing for money. Well, look, if you don't want to, you do not have to. Sign up for an account now. FanDuel is going to give you a free entry to a contest all season long where you can win real cash prizes. If you do make a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. That's FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. FanDuel, more ways to win. We're going to go on to our most traded players now. You guys know I've explained this many times. Users of Fantasy Pros often import their teams and their leagues into our My Playbook feature that allows you, you know, you can have access to all these tools that I mentioned earlier, especially with the trade assistant. And what I can do is I can take a look at the players who have been traded the most often. And what I do is I do that after games end on Sunday through this podcast, and I can look at the most traded players. So that's what we like to do. We like to talk about the rest of the season. So I've got four names here. Let's start with the one who is the most traded player, and that is Michael Thomas. So two games since he has returned, 13 targets, 7 catches, 78 yards. Now we've got, as we said, Jameis Winston, which, you know, Trevor has just the absolute perfect best ever insight into, coming in for probably the foreseeable future, but it is a good schedule. They get Atlanta twice, I believe, in the next 3 weeks. So what are your general thoughts here, Trevor, on Michael Thomas and his fantasy prospects rest of season?
Yeah, this is truly like rubber meets the road. Like what's going to happen here? Because there's a lot of factors at play, okay? Obviously, he had the injury that he was suffering for most of the season. Now he's coming back, so you figured that he's kind of all the way back at this point from that. But really, Jameis going to New Orleans was kind of a joke in and of itself, because this was just a very cerebral kind of offense. Like you let the system do the work. Most of the throws are made before the snap, you know, like it was so calculated. And Winston over the last couple of years was like, all right, here we go. Vertical offense with Dirk Koetter, vertical offense with Bruce Arians. And we are just 5-step, 7-step drop, letting it fly. And it's just like that is not at all what New Orleans is about. And so when you look at, of course, a number one target, a fantasy monster in Michael Thomas, now there is a big change in who might be distributing him the ball. So when you look at what Michael Thomas has been all about, I mean, 8.3 average depth of target last year. That was 89th in the whole league. But he had a contested catch rate of 63.3%, which was really good. He's not a big separator either. So that's kind of like, okay, anytime a guy doesn't separate and you're putting a new quarterback in, there's always room to question what's going on. But you also got to remember this too. Jameis Winston's used to that. He was used to throwing to Mike Evans. He didn't care if Mike Evans was covered. He trusted the talent of Mike Evans. And so that might still exist with Michael Thomas, even if he's not a great separator. But it's just, man, when you look at the stats between what Jameis was last year and let's say what the Saints offense was last year, because both were top five, top six in the league in scoring, and yet they were very different. Jameis had the second most intended air yards of any quarterback in the NFL last year at over 10. The only one who had more was Stafford, and I believe it was 0.1 more. Drew Brees, on the other hand, was, I think, the fourth fewest. And yet both of these offenses were one of the best scoring offenses in the league. And so they just did things in very different ways. Thomas, there's just so many factors on what could happen. I lean towards Jameis being toned down a little bit, being a little bit more of a system guy. But at the same time, Sean Payton's a good head coach. He realizes that the arm of Jameis Winston is not the same as Drew Brees. He also knows the experience of Jameis Winston is not the same as Drew Brees. So I don't think it's like they're putting Jameis straight into a Drew Brees designed Saints offense. With that said, I think that they're going to open things up a little bit more. And I still think Thomas is going to be the main guy. That's what Jameis was used to with Evans for all of those years. And honestly, Michael Thomas is used to being a target monster. And so I still think he's going to get looks. It's just to what success is that going to happen?
Yeah, talk to me about Michael Thomas, because there are a lot of factors here. Where he would have been even with Brees healthy, because, you know, he just hadn't been performing since he had been back. And now with Winston. So how do you feel about him?
Yeah, Trevor summed it up perfectly, that this is a complete difference of offensive philosophy as far as Jameis Winston and what he brings to the table and Drew Brees at this point of his career. You know, I think that's an important clarification here, that Drew Brees at this point of his career has nowhere near the arm talent that Jameis does. And so it's a chicken and an egg conversation. Like, what is the offensive philosophy here in New Orleans as far as the short area targets with featuring Michael Thomas so heavily in the past at contested catches on slants and stuff like that, and then Alvin Kamara out of the backfield? Is that because it's the offensive system, or is that because of Drew Brees' lack of ability to be able to push it deep down the field? So I think regardless, Michael Thomas, the arrow is pointing up with Jameis Winston at quarterback, in my opinion. I think that Winston is going to be able to come in here, and yes, he might throw a couple of interceptions, right? I don't think that we can take that off the table with Jameis Winston, but yet I think that what you're going to see specifically because of the matchups here, Dan, you mentioned it, Atlanta, yep, two times in the next 3 weeks. And we're anticipating, like, with the timetable for Drew Brees' return, 2 to 3 weeks. Are you kidding me? With a collapsed lung and 5 broken ribs? Like, no. I think it's going to take much longer than that. So we're looking at Jameis Winston being the main quarterback here for the New Orleans Saints for the foreseeable future. And if that's the case, in great matchups, I think that you can go out, and we'll talk about Michael Thomas here in a little bit, but I think you can go out and buy Michael Thomas right now in fantasy, because there are a lot of people that are off of Michael Thomas right now, and I think the arrow is pointing up.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, I think that you can expect that Jameis Winston is going to start for the remainder of the fantasy season. Like, the last I heard was at least five rib fractures plus the collapse. I mean, no. And they're going to be able to win, right?
As someone who has collapsed his lung before, which I have, it takes a little while for you to get the strength back to play quarterback in the NFL. So I would just, you know, from a little experience, I think that I would agree with you. Jameis is probably playing for the next 3-4 weeks at least.
After your collapsed lung, were you able to be an NFL quarterback?
Or I would say that after the injury, no, I probably, you know, could not play NFL quarterback.
Long-term prospects for Drew Brees are obviously hampered right now, because, I mean, if Trevor can't make it as an NFL quarterback after his collapsed lung, we have to worry about Drew Brees. All right, here's what we've got to do, guys. We've got to get to the actual trades that are being searched for. Again, I talk about this all the time, fantasypros.com/trade. This is where fantasy managers can go. It's not even in my playbook, so it's any fantasy manager who's on our site can go on and search for various players that they're thinking about trading. So don't shoot the messenger, okay? I am not the one who came up with these trades. But he is involved in, I don't know, like 20 trades.
It's not a good sign when you're already
Well, there are some where you're going to be like, nah, man. Come on. You can't do this. But we're going to get to the close range. So let's start. I'll start with Yates, and then I'll ask Trevor after that. Yates, would you rather have Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins.
And Trevor.
Yeah, this is not even close.
I don't shoot the messenger. Okay. Michael Thomas or Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs.
Trevor.
I would still have Stephon Diggs.
Okay. I just want you both to know that that is the correct answer. Okay. Michael Thomas or Keenan Allen? Yates.
Keenan Allen still.
Trevor.
Same. Keenan Allen.
This is also correct. Michael Thomas or Allen Robinson? Yates.
I'll take Michael Thomas there.
Okay.
Same. I would go Michael Thomas. Easy.
Thomas or A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown.
Okay. How about you, Trevor?
I would go Michael Thomas. I think they're going to force feed him a little bit. I still think Michael Thomas.
That's right on the range for me. I think I'll go Brown, but I've been a little higher than on Brown for the rest of the season going forward. How about Yates? This is a hard one for you. Michael Thomas or Calvin Ridley?
Calvin Ridley for me.
How about you, Trevor?
Oh, man. This is the toughest one for me. Yep. I think I would say Calvin Ridley. I'll trust that Matt Ryan's still able to sling it.
All right, given where we are in terms of the names that we've said, I'm going to just list all these names together. If you need me to do it again, you let me know. But these are all wide receivers that, you know, all right, just let me know if you would take any one of them over Thomas. All right, Adam Thielen, Robbie Anderson, Deontay Johnson, Kenny Galladay, Brandon Ayuk, or Antonio Brown? Yates.
No, I'll take Michael Thomas above all of them.
How about you, Trev?
I would still take Michael Thomas. He's still that wide receiver one.
I'm in agreement. Okay, let's go cross position. Michael Thomas or Travis Kelce. Now, I know it's position need and whatever, but just kind of in a vacuum, Yates, what do you think?
Oh, man. The drop-off from Travis Kelce to tight end two this year is drastic.
Yep.
I'll take Travis Kelce there.
Yeah. How about you, Trev?
I would say Kelce for that reason. Like, you're getting so much of a bump if you have Kelce on your team and he's in that tight end slot for you.
Yeah,
so I would say Travis Kelce.
I agree with that. I think Kelce at this point, I mean, tight end is so terrible. I mean, it's terrible every year, but this year in particular,
it's bad.
Especially without George Kittle and your third tight end, you know, Darren Waller, just not that reliable anymore. So really, Travis Kelce gives you such an edge. All right, I will give you just a bunch of running backs in a row, Yates. You let me know which ones you are taking instead of Michael Thomas. Again, vacuumate. Let's say it's your flex spot. Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, Chris Carson, Melvin Gordon.
I might take Josh Jacobs over Michael Thomas. Joe Mixon's a huge question mark because we just don't know when he's coming back. Right. If he was fully healthy, I would take Joe Mixon over Michael Thomas, but any of the other guys outside of that, I'd take Michael Thomas.
Even Chris Carson, if he comes back this Thursday, which, by the way, I'm not expecting necessarily.
No, I'll take Michael Thomas there.
All right. How about you, Trevor? Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, Chris Carson, or Melvin Gordon?
I'm on both Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's obviously the wild card because you would have to have more confidence that he's going to give you more games down the stretch, but I'd be tempted with both of those. I'd be pretty confident on Jacobs, actually.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what's going to happen here with Mixon because, again, it's a very bizarre situation where we just don't have anything. We don't have anything other than a vague kind of foot sprain, and people saw him dancing on the sideline, and it's been a month, and he hasn't practiced yet. So hopefully he's able to make it back this weekend. But yeah, if he's healthy, I agree. I would rather have him. But other than that, I'm going to stick with Thomas. I'm willing to, quote unquote, buy low on him. So before we keep going, guys, I love history. I used to take long drives in my old job, just devour history podcasts. My favorite one was Dan Carlin, Hardcore History. The entire breakdown of World War One. I loved that whole series. My wife is a nerd, like I am. I recommended it to her. She asked how long it was, and I was like, I don't know, 4 podcast episodes? She was like, oh, cool. How long is each episode? And I was like, I don't know, 3-4 hours each one. Needless to say, she didn't listen to it. And her World War One knowledge is now based entirely on me pausing the movie 1917 every 10 minutes to explain what was happening to her. That's always her thing. I don't have time. I don't have time to do any of this. I don't have time, whether it's to read or listen to a long podcast. And these days, frankly, neither do I. But thankfully, we discovered Blinkist. Basically, Blinkist takes the key ideas and insights from just a ton of nonfiction bestsellers, more than 4,000 of them, 27 different categories, and it puts them all together in like 15-minute text and audio explainers that help you understand more about the core idea. So you can find topics quickly, you can pick out the books that you want to read, essentially, or get the you know, core elements of, and just go. And they've teamed with popular podcast creators that let you jump right to the heart of a podcast episode really, really fast. Legitimately, any topic you want. My wife and I made a deal. She got to choose one for me, I for her. So she spent 18 minutes learning about one of my favorite figures, Muhammad Ali, by going to Blinkist for Ali, A Life by Jonathan Eich. I got nerdy and finally spent 22 minutes learning about A Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. A History of Everything. 22 minutes. I'm the smartest man alive now. So you want to actually learn about things that you're interested in without spending too much time, go to Blinkist.com/FantasyPros. You get a 7-day free trial and 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's BLINKIST.com/FantasyPros to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/FantasyPros. All right, next most traded player, Duke Johnson. This was a very disappointing day against the Browns. Just 14 carries, 54 yards, but basically all the running back snaps, 54, 57, all the carries in that backfield. He ran a route on the vast majority of dropbacks. He's going to get at least two more starts here. I mentioned David Johnson, concussion. He's on IR, so at least two more games. Trevor, what are your thoughts here on Duke Johnson from a fantasy standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it there. He's getting plenty of volume. Just how much do you trust the output of it? David Johnson was getting the same thing. You know, he was getting a lot of volume. He was getting a lot of the workload. And as we already said, like, volume could be the name of the game. But you got to think about situation. Like, you can't just go, hey, he's going to get all of the workload and not really think about what's surrounding him. Houston right now is dead last in rushing DVOA, which is defensive adjusted value over average. They're also the fourth worst in adjusted rush yards, and they're dead last in second level rushing yards. So, like, yeah, he's getting carries, but what's going on with him? Like, the line's not helping him out. He's having to do everything on his own. And so this is kind of just like, yeah, he's getting a lot of work, but there's not a lot of production that's coming from the work. And that's the whole point of wanting to pick guys who have higher volume, is you're hoping, hey, maybe he'll break one loose. Maybe he'll break a couple loose. And, like, those are always the guys that give you a lot of value. And so he's getting a lot of work there. But even if you go over to game scripts, Houston's ranked 28th in team defense right now. And so when you think about that as well, they're going to get away from the run game a lot sooner, especially because Deshaun Watson's been a guy that they could really lean on. And they're just going to be behind in games. And you got to think about game scripts as well when you talk about potential volume. And so, yeah, he's been getting all of the running back work, but the running back work, whether it is on the ground or in the pass game, doesn't have a lot of value in Houston right now.
Yeah, this is our classic. It's, what's our saying? What do we say? Like, I hate my rankings, or but you right. have to start them, right. or something like that. Like, that's yep. basically Duke Johnson, at least for the next couple of games against New England and Detroit, right?
Yeah, well, Trevor talked about the game script. Well, yeah, they're going to be behind, but that actually kind of lends itself to Duke Johnson's skill set as a receiver out of the backfield, which is why the fact that he only saw one target last week, that's so bizarre. So I think he's a safe RB2 option. You know that he's going to get work. You know that no one, like, Buddy Howell is their RB2. Like, who? Like, he's not getting work, right? So I think with Duke Johnson, you can lean into the fact that he's going to get guaranteed volume. He's a safe RB2 option. He might not have elite upside, but again, it's kind of that David Montgomery situation where it's like, for the next couple weeks, if I can just have a guy who I know I can plug in and he's not going to give me 3 total fantasy points, then I'll take that.
So I think there are a couple of things. One, they don't target their, you know, David Johnson was seeing roughly 3, maybe 4 targets a game when he was in there. So if you at least get that added on, I don't want to draw too many conclusions from this last game because the wind, of course, was insane. I actually thought that would lend itself to more dump offs necessarily to Duke Johnson in a game that was close for the entire time. It didn't. But again, I think if you pencil in 3, maybe 4 targets per game, that'll boost his stock a little bit. You have to start him as long as he's in. I guess the question is, what do you do in a situation like this where there's even, look, he's unexciting. He's not a ceiling play. Neither is David Montgomery, but we were basically like, well, we got to start him. So you got to start Duke Johnson when he's in there. How do you value, because this is a question I get a lot from fantasy managers, how do you value a player like this who, I mean, you know, when you're talking about trading him, most people say, well, he's got 2 games left of value. But we don't necessarily know that. I mean, he could have more. David Johnson being put on IR for a concussion is strange to me. I can't remember that happening, you know, immediately after a concussion, essentially. So this could be a longer term thing. How would you value, and I'll get to some specific trades, Trevor, how would you value Duke Johnson in trades going forward? Would you be like, if I'm just looking at trade, I would be willing to give up low-end RB2 value, or would it be lower than that because you're not expecting to start for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I think it kind of just depends what the rest of your roster's like. Like, if you have a steady influx of points coming from different positions or different players, then maybe it's something that you can move on from. But I agree, the injury thing with David Johnson's a little bit weird because normally it's kind of just like, all right, you're in concussion protocol. Like, we're taking it, like, that's just it. You're there. We're seeing what happens. And they already ruled him out for 3 weeks, which is a little bit odd. I mean, maybe this was just the play all along. They're like, okay, concussion, it's going to be a week or two. Let's just shut you down for 3 weeks and make sure you're good. Perhaps it's that, but perhaps it's not. And so it just kind of depends. If you have a team structure right now where you are cool with Duke Johnson being able to get you a steady amount of points and racking you up a couple wins as you get into the postseason here for your leagues, then that makes sense. But shoot, if you might need somebody who might give you more on the back end, like if you're trying to, if you want to trade Duke Johnson's points right now for someone who might have a higher ceiling just in the next couple of weeks, like a guy who might be coming back from injury or something, I think it just all depends what your team makeup is. If you need the points right now, yeah, you start him, you can't really get rid of him. But if you've got a good supporting group of players around him, perhaps you might be able to flip him because this situation is a little bit odd.
Yates, would you prefer, and this is one of the most searched for trades, Duke or David Johnson rest of season? You can only roster one.
Duke Johnson, because I think that he's going to give me the ability to at least get to the playoffs. Looking at their playoff schedule, Chicago, Indianapolis, weeks 14 and 15.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think that you can really rely on, if David Johnson does come back in time, I don't think I'm going to be recommending playing David Johnson as anything more than a low-end RB2. So Duke Johnson can at least give me some value here in week 11 and then week 12 against Detroit before he gets Indianapolis in week 13 too. So yeah, I take the Duke Johnson side there. But again, it's not anything where I'm like, yeah, let's make that trade.
Yeah, 13, 14, 15 weeks is Indianapolis. Yeah, it's by the way, that's what it is. Chicago and then Indianapolis again. So it's not a pretty schedule once you get there. How about you, Trevor? I mean, I guess it might be for you, depending on whether or not what your situation is. But for me, look, somebody dropped David Johnson in a league, and I guess I'm going to try to pick him up, but I'm not running out there being like, ooh, baby, look at this. I've got somebody here. You know, I think I'd prefer Duke personally. What about you?
You look at the last half of that schedule, or not even the last half, Indy, Chicago, Indy, and then they get Cincinnati. So, okay, but Cincinnati's not been the worst against the run, but then it's Tennessee. So it's like Tennessee's pretty stout. They might be playing for a playoff spot. So that just might be tough, even if David Johnson comes back 3 weeks after. So, right. I guess, David, you take the points that you can get against defenses that ain't too great in the next couple of weeks.
What is it? Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush?
Two in the bush.
Is that right? Yes, I got a... One of
those
things, right?
Who knows what the saying means, but you got it right.
No, it means, you know, take what you've got right now. All right, how about Duke Johnson or Melvin Gordon, Trevor? Who would you prefer?
Duke Johnson, I guess.
How about you, Yates?
Gross.
Yeah.
I'll take Melvin Gordon there, but that's like razor thin.
I think I'm going to take Duke because I can't imagine that I'm going to want to start Melvin Gordon at any point at this point, right? And so if not, then I'm just going to go with somebody who I can't start. How about Duke Johnson or sudden resurgent Wayne Gallman? What do you think, Trevor?
Ooh, man, I kind of like Wayne Gallman, but I'm still going to go Duke Johnson, even though I was a low key Wayne Gallman fan when he was coming out of Clemson. I was like, why aren't we talking about Wayne Gallman? And then the NFL showed me why they weren't high on Wayne Gallman. And so I've kind of like given up on him a little bit. So I guess I'll take Duke, maybe because I've been burned and I don't want to trust anymore. But big shout out Wayne Gallman.
It is a little, Wayne Gallman's been great. It is a little tough because he's on bye this week. But what do you think, Yates, Duke or Wayne Gallman?
Yeah, I'll take Duke because Wayne Gallman is on bye this week. I want the immediate play.
Yeah, but shout out to Wayne Gallman, who may be my running back riser section. Let's go to Austin Eckler here. This is a very tough one because this is an injured back, and I get the question a lot. How do you value? And I do a trade chart for us every week. I'm going to do it tonight. Valuing the injured running back is always difficult because you don't know exactly when they're going to return. Again, Austin Eckler was given a 4 to 6 week timetable. Now, I think anybody who really kind of paid attention to that injury thought that that was optimistic. But again, we have now passed 6 weeks. He has that tweet that's out there of him just basically running in a straight line that everybody's like, look at this. He's about to return. You said he's back. I have my own personal date as to when I expect Austin Eckler back, but how do you value Austin Eckler at this point from a fantasy standpoint as we head into week 11? And, you know, what do you expect him to do when he gets back? I mean, it God forbid, in 2020, is Kalen Ballage going to have, like, cut into his workload when he, even when he gets back? Trevor.
If there is anybody out there that is a sucker for a good social media injury update video, it is your boy. I am all in. No, I love Austin Eckler. Obviously, when he's healthy and when he's out there, I think he's been a workhorse. And that was before Justin Herbert's, like, real total emergence into him being the quarterback. And I think that they're now unleashing what Justin Herbert can do in his arm. So it might be a little bit more downfield stuff. They're going to continue to emphasize where they can get more yards. But we obviously know Austin Eckler is not just an on-the-ground kind of a guy. He can complement this this Chargers team in a multitude of ways. And so, honestly, shoot, if you are looking to make a cheeky trade here to where you might be giving up value in the next couple of weeks, like, let's say that your record right now in your league is you're pretty much going to make the playoffs. Like, even if you drop one or two here over the next couple of weeks, you know you're making the playoff. You might be able to swing a couple of guys, depending on where Austin Eckler might be in your league. You might be able to swing a couple of guys who might have better points right now, say like a Duke Johnson, for example, and package something to go give it to another player who might be willing to move on from Austin Eckler to make sure they get the points that they need so they make the playoffs, and then all of a sudden your roster gets even stronger once you make it to the postseason with Austin Eckler. That's how I would view him if you don't currently have him on a roster, that I got faith that this dude's coming back, and I think that he is going to be a playoff X factor for you. So the second he gets back in that lineup, whether it is over the next couple of weeks or whether it was against the regular scheduled timetable, he's going to win some fantasy leagues. I really do believe that.
We are at the point where fantasy managers, a lot of them have pretty much locked up playoff spots in it, right? You've got at most 3 weeks probably before almost every other league gets to the playoffs. Some leagues start in week 13, so you might have that. So if you are looking good for that, Trevor says, go get Austin Eckler because he thinks he'll be a factor down the stretch. How about you, Yates? How are you viewing him?
That was exactly the situation that I was going to bring up. If you have your playoff situation locked in and you want to be able to sacrifice some immediate, you know, appeal, some immediate value. And again, Duke Johnson, perfect example there of someone who is sitting on that edge, like who needs to make the push to be able to get into the playoffs. Then that's something like package Duke Johnson with someone else, a wide receiver that you can go and let that fantasy manager sacrifice the long-term value of Austin Eckler, because who knows when he's coming back? It could be this week, it could be next week, it could be the week after that. But yet for playoff-bound teams, Austin Eckler is going to be a game changer here. So I love that call by Trevor.
Yeah, so this, I will just offer when I expect to see him back. You know, we have Dr. David Chow on our podcast every Friday. He originally basically called out essentially a week, and that seems to me to be how it's going to be. And that's week 13. So not this week, not next week, but the first week of December, first games in December. That's when I would be planning, if I'm looking to trade for him, to have Eckler back. Now, what I would probably do if you want to sort of make this happen and buy him for the long term is I would wait for him to not practice this week, because I guarantee you, look, Trevor could be in your league. Trevor's all about a hype video right now. There's somebody like Trevor in your league who's like, what do you mean? He's about to come back. Why? Well, I've dealt with the 6 weeks of absence. I'm going to trade him now.
Right.
Once they realize that he, no. That's just a video, just a hype video. He's running straight. He's got to do a lot more than that. Once he doesn't practice this week, once he's ruled out, then make your move. That's when you want to go and be like, all right, well, look, I don't know. Let's do this, because he is someday. They're going to realize he's not quite as close to returning. So let me give you a couple names here. Trevor, would you prefer Eckler or either one of the Bucks running backs?
Eckler. I would rather have Eckler.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, same here. I don't want to deal with this situation in Tampa.
Oh, you're not. You don't think Ronald Jones has it now? I mean, we should ask Tampa Bay Trey over here.
No, we're going to get to that.
Oh, all right. I'll save it. All right. Let's go Eckler or Joe Mixon. Who do you like, Trev?
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're saying that Eckler is going to miss at least the next 2 weeks.
Again, I am not the official Austin Eckler source.
Of course.
This is
right.
Just what I expect. Yes.
Let's just say, like, Eckler misses the next 2 weeks, but then he comes back. Let's just say that Mixon might miss another week and he comes back. I would still at that point rather have Eckler. So I think I'm going to be a little crazy here and I'm going to go Austin Eckler.
How about you, Yates?
I'll take Mixon.
Yeah, this is one where if Mixon is going to play this week, I would take Mixon. If he's going to miss, I don't know, whatever. At that point, I'm like officially definitely worried about Joe Mixon having this, you know, vague foot sprain that nobody can even pinpoint in the game film. Right. Like, still, nobody knows when this happened. And it's just right. like, I don't know. He came back. He was fine. And he'll never practice again. So we'll see that. Last one, Eckler or DeAndre Swift, Trevor.
This is tough for me because of a talking point that we're going to get into later. But oh, man. I will still say Eckler.
How about you, Yates?
Oh, I'll take Swift there because I think that we've finally seen Matt Patricia change his philosophy and actually lean on talented players. So, yeah. But that's a question mark. But no, I'll take Swift because I know that he's going to be, I know he's going to be here, give me some value over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'd probably take Swift too. Again, bird in the hand. That's kind of how I play, especially as you know, yes.
Right. And if you're in a situation where you certainly need points, you're obviously taking everything that I say and throwing it out the three-story window.
So. They're probably doing that anyway. Don't worry about it. But
Very true.
So, I mean, I do think that I'm not even convinced, given what we saw from Swift, that Eckler is going to be that much better than Swift. I mean, maybe I'm too high on Swift. But I think Swift is really going to provide excellent value, especially in half and full PPR leagues. All right, I had mentioned four names. Let's just skip it. We're getting a little long because we're having some fun. The last name was Kenyon Drake, which we can talk about as we get into this. Let's get a buy low, though, candidate from you. Let's go to you first, Trevor. Who's your buy low candidate that you're looking at here?
I hope that I'm like in the same area realm I need to be with some of these names as we go through this segment. But a buy low guy for me would be wide receiver Amari Cooper. Last time that he had a really successful game and his last time that he hit the end zone was the last full game that Andy Dalton played. Andy Dalton is supposed to be coming back. I think that Amari Cooper now it reemerges as the true number one guy who's going to get a lot of targets, not just targets, but like decent targets. Because for as many Andy Dalton jokes as we have, like he's still an experienced NFL quarterback and Dallas is still going to have to make up for a terrible defense behind them. And so they're going to be continuing to throw the ball. And I would say that, again, like I hope I'm in the right realm with these buy low, sell high guys. But like Amari Cooper would be a player that I feel like not a lot of people are talking about that does still have wide receiver one ceiling if Andy Dalton is healthy and back.
Three things. One, you are in the right realm. Two, there is no realm because you can say buy low or sell high wherever you want. You could be like I list like, you know, Dalvin Cook as, you know, whatever. And then I'll go to a guy that nobody's ever heard of. So okay. It's fine. Number three. I agree with you on Cooper, especially before this game. I mean, it's against Minnesota, and I can't name many members of their secondary. They do get Washington and Baltimore after that, so it's a little worrisome, but I do think that having Andy Dalton back, and I think nobody's going to be thinking about that. He was on a bye. He's coming off, you know, a game, you know, just a couple of efforts where it's not that impressive. I think this is a good point to buy him. So I agree. Good call by you. Go ahead to Yates.
We talked about him, Michael Thomas. I think that this is there are going to be people who are concerned over the last couple weeks. They've been holding on to Michael Thomas all season long, ready for him to come back and give you the, you know, top five locked in performances every single week. And that hasn't happened. So I think there are going to be people who are concerned. So I think that you can sell Michael or go acquire Michael Thomas for cheaper than what his value actually is. I'm buying into Jameis Winston lifting up this offense. And I think that he's going to lean on Michael Thomas. So I think you can go out and get MT here.
There are absolutely fantasy managers who are rostering Michael Thomas who are just done. They are just done. They spent a high pick, probably a first round pick. They've gotten zero, legitimately zero. They've either not been able to start him or they have been able to start him and he has provided essentially negative value. So
high draft pick fatigue is so very real. Yeah. It is so real.
Yeah. Would you, out of curiosity, Trev, would you do the same thing essentially with Eckler that you might with Christian McCaffrey is basically already kind of been ruled out this week? Do you think the Christian McCaffrey owner has that same fatigue or at least McCaffrey, when he's been in there, has performed up to expectations on the rare games that he has played? Do you think that fantasy managers at this point would have that same fatigue? Just out of curiosity.
I mean, I feel like they would just because McCaffrey was talked about as, you know, number one, number two overall pick. And you celebrate the moment you realize you're picking at the top of the draft and you get Christian McCaffrey and it just hasn't been exactly what you have thought it could be this year. In terms of like an Eckler comparison, it's way harder to trade or acquire or pry Christian McCaffrey away from somebody because of his name, you know, because it is the name Christian McCaffrey. And at the end of the day, like even if you get a guy to consider a trade before they would hit accept on it, you could just go, wait a second, I'm not doing this. This is Christian McCaffrey. I've waited all this time for this. And so I do think it's a little different. Although they're in the same boat injury wise, it would be much harder for you to get McCaffrey away from somebody than Austin Eckler.
Yeah. No. All right. I agree with that. So I want your opinion on my buy low guy. I'm not sure you guys would agree, but somebody did tweet at me in text. You know, we update our rest of season rankings and Fantasy Bros tweets it out, Yates, with you. And somebody basically asked us, why is Travis Fulgham still so high? Don't you need to move him down? He barely did anything this past game against the Giants. I think if you stripped the name off of his jersey and you just had looked at his production, or you gave him a name that was more recognizable, fantasy managers would not be all that concerned, as bad as Carson Wentz looked. But he's looked terrible all year, and he's basically produced. It's a tough matchup for Fulgham. He was still out there almost every snap. Alshon Jeffrey did not factor in. Maybe he'll be in a little more at this point, but Fulgham had produced. Again, a tough matchup. They've got Cleveland. They've got Seattle next. It's one of them is the best matchup you could possibly have. I'm not that worried about Cleveland. So for me, he's a guy who I think fantasy managers are basically like, well, look, you know, they came out of the bye. Alshon Jeffrey's back. Zach Ertz has been designated from return. The party's over for this guy who I never heard of his name before this year. So for me, I think you can buy Travis Fulgham pretty cheap at this point. I would be willing to do it. How do you feel about his rest of season prospects, Trevor?
Yeah, I don't know with Philadelphia. It's so hard to trust that coaching staff right now. My co-host over at Locked On NFL Draft, Ben Solak, he's a big Eagles guy, and he was pointing out, like, in crucial situations, they weren't even putting the best wide receivers for the job that they were asking in the right spots. And so it's just so weird for me to buy anybody in Philly right now. But a guy I'm pretty low on is Jalen Reagor, and I don't really have faith that Alshon Jeffrey is going to, like, come back to 2017 form all of a sudden. So if you're going to bet on anybody in that Philadelphia offense, I'm with you that it would be Fulgham. I just don't know where the ceiling is because of the coaching staff.
Yeah, it's where do you have Fulgham rest of the season? You don't have to give me the exact number, but around, I mean, do you think that he's a buy low? Do you think that he's somebody?
Yeah, no, I like the call. I like the call of buying low because, yeah, you mentioned it. Like, the production wasn't there, but he still saw 5 targets and he had 59 total snaps, which was tied with Jalen Reagor in this past game. So he's on the field. He's still getting looks. Now you can have a greater conversation of, do we want to actually invest in this Philadelphia offense?
Right.
Which is fair. That's a fair conversation. But yet, relative to what, you know, the price that you're going to have to give up to get Fulgham, I think he's worth sending out some offers.
All right, sell high. Let's get to you, Trevor. You're in the right realm, I promise. Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, I have 2 quick ones. One, Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I just think that he's got unsustainable production right now, especially with Alan Lazard potentially coming back. He had his best games this season against some terrible coverage teams, Jacksonville and San Francisco. They're both bottom half DVOA teams, and Jacksonville, the game that he really went off, I mean, they're dead last. And so if you can move on from him, especially with them adding some more names to that offense, I think that would be smart. And then the other one, I told you that we were going to get to him, it's Ronald Jones. If you just look at the raw stats, 3rd in the league in rushing at 730 yards, and then 2nd in rushing yards in rush yards over expected, which means that he is doing crazy things. He has over 200 yards on the season, more than he is supposed to when you look at kind of like the analytics of every single run. And so when you think of those two things, you go, Trev, why in the world would I move on from a guy like this? Well, it's because he still has fumbling problems. I thought it was a miracle that Bruce Arians didn't take him out of the game.
Seriously.
After he fumbled it. We have no idea why he stayed in the game, and Arians ended up looking like a genius for it with that 98-yard run. And then he really still is just not reliable in the pass game. They're still trying to figure that out. And so with that being the case, don't sell off Ronald Jones for nothing. Like, he will still, even though he seems to be a feast or famine guy, he will still give you those feast weeks. And those are very valuable as you get down the stretch here for fantasy football. But if you can trade him off for a guy that's going to continue to be more reliable, again, get you closer to a guaranteed double-digit points from one of your running back spots every single week. We've seen how valuable that could be with fantasy football getting into that postseason play. And so if don't give him away for nothing here, but I'd sell high on him if you can get something good for him, especially a better running back.
If one of you two did not mention Ronald Jones, I was going to be absolutely shocked because, yeah, he was number one with the bullet. But you make the right point, and I stress this all the time. When we say that somebody is a sell high, that does not mean sell, okay? That doesn't mean that Ronald Jones is not going to provide value for the rest of the season. He will. You can start him most weeks. The thing is to sell high, to get more than he is actually worth at this moment. And absolutely, and again, there's always that risk. I do not understand if there was one thing, I think I would have been more confident that he would have had the longest run in Bucs history than confident that he would have fumbled in the opening drive and still been on the field after that
game. Like,
I mean, absolutely nuts. So again, you know, he had several big games before, you know, he had 300-yard rushing games in a row. And after that, he basically combined for 23 carries over the next three games. You just never know with the Bucs offense. So there is risk, of course. And as you said, rushing over expectation, absolutely 100% agree. But again, sell high, don't just sell. Go ahead, Yates. Who do you got? Was Jones your guy as well?
No, I'm going to mention Adam Thielen coming off of his 2-touchdown performance. Looked great. Of course, that one-handed catch in the back of the end zone with the ball flip. Did you guys see that too?
Catching it,
reeling it in. He flips the ball in with one hand. It's insane. Warren Sharp tweeted it out. It's an amazing video. Go watch it. Anyway, so Adam Thielen, of course, coming off of the 2-touchdown game, like over exceeded expectations against the Chicago Bears pass defense. But I think if you can sell Thielen because he has been super up and down this season, just really inconsistent. He gives you, of course, the big week winning potential, but yet in the matches where the passing game is going to take a back seat to Dalvin Cook, which absolutely could happen in some of these upcoming games against Dallas particularly, then I think that Adam Thielen, you can sell him high. And for example, like if you want to sell Adam Thielen and get Michael Thomas, maybe even plus something, I think you can do that right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And Trev, it sounded like you did too, right? If I was judging you correctly?
No, because, you know, going back to what we talked about when we were recapping Monday Night Football, I think the offense runs through Dalvin Cook first, but then it's Justin Jefferson second. I don't think it's Adam Thielen. Yeah, I think he's more reliable and he's got more rapport with Kirk Cousins. That's why you're seeing some end zone touches. And yeah, those end zone touches are important, but like, if I'm betting on an offensive weapon that's not Dalvin Cook in that Vikings offense, I'm betting Justin Jefferson. And so if you can get something great for Thielen, again, sell for the right price, but I'd be cool with selling him.
Thielen is a guy who you're going to start every week so long as he's on your roster, right. And you should. Right. But yes. I completely agree with that. And again, I was somebody who had to kind of reassess how I felt about Thielen over the last few weeks, because every time, you know, I tease tags on our Sunday night, what's your problem, man? We were always really different on where we ranked Thielen rest of season. I was way higher than him. And so it forces me to take another look. And yeah, you're right. I mean, that is how it sort of goes. And it is worth noting, as you mentioned, Yates, the schedule, as we've talked about, you know, if they're going to have these positive game scripts, which you kind of assume against Dallas, against Carolina, with maybe no Teddy Bridgewater, against Jacksonville, like, I mean, they like leaning into Cook. Regardless, they're certainly going to want to lean into him there. And again, if there is a wide receiver who's kind of exploding right now, it's more Jefferson rather than Thielen. All right, let's get to some rest of season risers and fallers. Let's start with running back. Trevor, who's a guy who's rising in your running back rankings?
I love Josh Jacobs, man. And maybe this just goes back from knowing Gruden when he was the Bucs head coach and just following him. But I think that if he's got his preference, he's running that whole offense through Josh Jacobs. We've seen that he gets a ton of volume. I think he's going to do a lot with it. I think the schedule is okay for the Raiders down the stretch. I mean, they do have the Colts. Atlanta's better against the run than you think, but they've got the Kansas City Chiefs. Miami hasn't been great against the run for as good as they begin against the pass. Denver hasn't been great. And so you got a favorable schedule with him. And I really do think he could be a workhorse for you.
I think I listed him as a sell high candidate. And again, it was high. And I think Yates may have said, who are you selling him for? And I was like, nobody. So it didn't really make sense, but it is something where I will say that I was a little concerned about his knee, because I know he had been in, you know, dealing with that, and a little concerned with how much Booker was cutting into his workload. But I was watching this last game pretty well. He looked great. He looked absolutely great. And again, maybe somebody, you know, who wasn't watching the game closely will see that Devontae Booker also scored 2 touchdowns and, you know, be, you know, worried about that. But that was all in garbage time. So I like the call. Go ahead, Yates. Who do you have?
Yeah, Kenyon Drake coming back into the lineup. He has risen in my rankings from RB26 to RB19. Getting exactly 100 rushing yards this past game. So I think that, you know, he's not someone who I'm saying, yeah, let's put him right back where we had him in pre-draft rankings as, you know, RB8 or whatever we had him. But yet he's someone that is rising back up my rankings now that we've seen, okay, he's back from his injury. He's looking fully healthy. He's actually producing again, which wasn't the case early on in the season. So yeah, he's slowly rising back up my rankings.
Yeah, for me, it's Wayne Gallman, who we mentioned earlier, who I just kind of been like, I'm not starting Wayne.
Nice.
I'm just not doing it at all. I mean, he's basically a borderline RB2 for me going forward. Devonta Freeman's not going to factor in here, you know, even after he's off IR. And Gallman looks good, and he deserves it. And Damien Harris, another guy who I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. You know, he had the chest injury. And then, you know, you'd said, well, Sony Michel may come off. This is Damien Harris's job. So, again, not crazy, but he was like 46 buried in my running back rankings. He's now 32, so still outside of RB2 range. But he has moved up after this last game. Let's go to a faller. Who do you have, Trevor?
Oh, Yeah, okay, so we're going back to the Bucks running back. Well, if for whatever reason you are hanging on to Leonard Fournette thinking that he is going to be anything this year, my friends, it is done. It is done, especially because of what we saw with Ronald Jones last week. I mean, the only hope that you had, if you were hanging on to Leonard Fournette somewhere on your bench thinking maybe one day you could start him if they really lose faith in Ronald Jones, that exactly happened this past weekend. Ronald Jones fumbled early, and they just continued to go back to him. And then even when Leonard Fournette even got carries, he's just proving his RB vision is just, it ain't it. Like, it's just not there. He's missing wide open running lanes. And so the days of him coming in and just being kind of this wild card back for you here, you're stashing at the bottom of your roster, it's done.
Yep.
You can get rid of him. I think he's going to be completely irrelevant for the rest of the fantasy season.
You don't need to sell me on ridding myself of the Bucks running back situation, because it is something where, God, I'm like, oh, if I can get one of these guys out, I agree. He was on my fallers list. How about you, Yates?
Let's talk about James Conner.
Yes, we are going to talk about James Conner. Go ahead.
I mean, looking at James Conner over the past couple weeks, he doesn't look like himself. He looks very, like, he's just slow, lumbering, does not look explosive at all, and is not producing in some really, really good matchups here. So he's fallen from 6 to 12 in my running back rankings. He's still someone that I think you can roll out there in your starting lineup, but at the point where, like, we're not looking at him the way that we were previously. And with this offense, with all three wide receivers now as, like, high-end wide receiver twos in my rest of season rankings, like, they can just pass the ball as much as they want. They don't have to lean on the run game.
I actually don't put it on Conner at all. Like, I maybe I should. He just doesn't get the work. There are like 45-minute stretches in that game where Conner does not get a touch because their offense works through the pass. And it works really, really well. So I mentioned right. The tags. Like, I can't even criticize them, despite the fact that I roster Conner in like 60% of my leagues. I can't criticize them. So he has fallen down for me. But I don't know, Yates. I don't think that I've necessarily felt like he hasn't rushed well. I mean, what I usually see is he doesn't get a carry at all. He gets one carry for -4 yards. And then he doesn't get another carry for like 20 minutes. And then another -4 yards. And then he rushes a couple at the end to sort of have like 30 or 40 yards. So I agree, though. He's 13th in my rankings. That's still what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, God, I have no confidence in James Conner at this point. Yeah, he's 13th.
Yeah, he's still 13th. Right? He's still 13th.
So that's where I view him. But I like that call, and Conner was my guy. Let's get to a wide receiver riser. Trevor, who's your wide receiver riser?
Going with Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Josh Reynolds. I loved Josh Reynolds when he was coming out of Texas A&M a couple of years ago. And when I say loved, I didn't mean I had him wide receiver one or anything, but I really loved his game. He was great at contested catches. He was a money down player for Texas A&M when he was with the Aggies, and that's what he is now becoming, and we're seeing that with the Los Angeles Rams. In his last four games, he had back-to-back touchdowns in the first two, and then he had a high target load in these last two games, it led the team in targets. This is a team with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, you know, all these different wide receiver options. And out here, Josh Reynolds was the guy that they were targeting the most. He's really just becoming that guy that they can go to in times when space is limited, whether it is on third downs or in the red zone. And I think that, you know, it's not like you're playing this guy as a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two in fantasy, but there might be a matchup that you really like one week where he could steal you a win. I think that he is a guy that's certainly worth keeping on your roster because he's clearly on the up because of how much the Rams value what he can do in contested catch situations and when space is limited most.
Love the call. I agree. Yeah, had a nice game this past one, which, you know, a lot of fantasy managers were kind of, you know, reaching out to me being like, well, why don't you rank him higher? I was like, well, I expect it to be a Woods and a Cup game. But yeah, Reynolds has been definitely solid lately. How do you feel? Yates, who's your wide receiver riser?
Yeah, I love the Josh Reynolds call really quick. I mean, 8, 9, 10 targets each of the past 3 weeks off the top of my head. So this guy has just been money recently. And it's not working out for or not working well for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, who are directly impacted because of it. For my riser, Chase Claypool. Wide receiver 32 to wide receiver 20. I literally have all three of these guys at 19, 20, and 21, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers. So,
wow.
I mean, start all of them every single week. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be relying on each of these guys. So, Claypool has been someone who I've been hesitant to buy into this season just because I knew that when Deontay Johnson was on the field, he was going to command targets. There's more than enough volume for all three of these guys to eat.
My least favorite start sit questions, Yates, on Sunday is when they involve which Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver would you start?
Right. Yeah. Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool. Like, flip a coin.
I'm almost positive. And I also have them back to back to back in my rest of season rankings, but I'm almost positive I had them back to back to back in my week 10 rankings, because I'm just like, right. I don't know. They're all good. Start them all. For me, other than the Steelers guys, Jacoby Myers, again, a guy who I kind of was not going to fully buy into after destroying the Jets, but now I'm fully buying into. I mean, he's getting the target share. He's getting the air yards. He's getting basically everything that you want from a wide receiver. So he was like wide receiver 4 borderline range. He's now in the wide receiver 3 discussion from 49 to 34. Let's get to wide receiver faller. Who do you have, Trevor?
This pains me because I am a sucker for keeping big names on my bench to see if they could come to life once again. But it's AJ Green's time here. It's time to kind of get to reality of what AJ Green is, because, man, over the last couple of weeks, I think that AJ Green is still second on the team in targets over the last 4 or 5 weeks, but T. Higgins, has only seen less than 7 targets once since week 3. And the problem is that Higgins isn't just getting targets. He's getting AJ Green's best kinds of targets, because it's just not working out with Green, where Green used to be this big, giant wide receiver. You could count on touchdowns. You could count on those money down throws. Green has yet to catch a touchdown. And I think Higgins has 2 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks, and then he had the 2 touchdown game early on in the year. And so it's clearly T. Higgins' time now in that offense. And I think that it's just time to come to reality with AJ Green. They're ushering him out of that Cincinnati offense. He might do some good things here in a couple of weeks as the season rounds out, but Higgins is the guy. He is now the guy in Cincinnati. I wouldn't count on Green reemerging.
Yeah, you've got no argument from me. I certainly think he's droppable at this point in fantasy leagues. How about you, Yates? Who's your wide receiver faller?
Marquise Brown, I mentioned him last week, but he just continues to fall down my rankings. It's unlikely to happen this season with Marquise Brown at this point. I mean, even watching that game against New England, like Lamar Jackson throwing him a deep pass down the field, a go route, he wasn't separating from McCourty. And this is what you need Marquise Brown to be able to do, is pull away from defenders deep downfield. Not able to do it, just consistently falling down my rankings here. And so, I mean, I am at the point now with Marquise Brown, I need to see him put together 2 solid performances back to back before I even think about putting him in my starting lineup.
He's droppable, in my opinion. Yes, I mentioned him actually, I think it was yesterday or maybe last week. You know, we do the drop or keep, and he was on it, and he's dropped for me at this point. I mean, I can't imagine getting to a point, and that offense just is not working right now, certainly not the passing game. So I don't think I'm ever going to be comfortable starting Marquise Brown. And at this point, we're in week 11. Okay. The idea of holding guys,
right,
other than, yep, right, the backup running back, like Jonathan Taylor, I'm still holding because I just cling to hope that something somehow will happen for him.
Y'all were giving Taylor so much love on the last podcast. I was cracking
the
up.
The worst. We're the worst. Okay. My wide receiver faller, I'll go a little higher. And Yates, I mean, actually very quickly interested to hear what you think. Robbie Anderson. And again, yep, falling is he's really more of a high-end wide receiver 3 for me at this point, from 20 to 26. So still somebody who starts. He's got 1 touchdown on the season. He hasn't topped 77 yards in 6 weeks. He just, you know, that offense. And again, you've probably got Teddy Bridgewater probably going to miss this game. He's still getting targets. You know, he only got 6 in this last game, but he had 13 before, 8 the 2 games before that. But still, Yates, he was pushing up early on against wide receiver 1 territory. And right now he's fallen to 26. Yates, I know you were the Robbie Anderson guy. What do you think of him?
Yep. He was the other name that I wrote down here if someone took Marquise Brown. So Robbie Anderson from wide receiver 16 to wide receiver 23 in my rest of season rankings. Again, I mean, we still have to keep in context. He's the wide receiver 17 on the season up to this point. So he's still like producing, but yet at the same time with what he's, you know, been doing on the field recently, I don't think we can view him as that guy who was pushing wide receiver 1 territory.
All right, so we are getting a little long here, so let's go rapid fire. You don't even have to really give much of an analysis. Give me your QB riser and your QB faller. Let's start with you, Trevor.
I guess Jameis Winston would be my, I guess, like,
that's fine,
QB riser.
Yeah.
Yes, if I'm cheating here. Also, Tua Tagovailoa, because he has a really favorable schedule over the last couple of weeks, and yep, he's looked favorable, so we might have his best weeks coming up. I don't know. I don't know if these are either guys that you're going to start, but they're intriguing.
Go ahead, Yates. Who do you got for your QB riser?
Yeah, Tua was the guy who I was talking about, or was going to talk about, from QB 23 to QB 17 in my rest of season rankings.
All right, for me, it's Big Ben, who just, you know, they're not going to run the ball. They're just going to throw the ball. You have 3 elite wide receivers.
Here we are.
It's weird. And he had the knee stuff and he had the COVID stuff. And he just comes out like, nah, we're good. We're fine. So 18 to 14 for me, rest of the season, still outside the startable range. And Yates, how about a faller for you? I'll skip you, Trevor. We're short on time anyway. Go ahead, Yates.
Matthew Stafford, because Matthew Stafford, his fantasy season this year has been bonkers. In games that he has like extremely favorable matchups, he's fallen outside like the top 20 QBs on the week. In weeks that you shouldn't have been starting him, particularly against Indianapolis and Washington, he's gone off and has finished within the top six. So it's just impossible to predict when Matthew Stafford is going to put together a solid performance. So he's moving down my rankings.
And he's battling the thumb injury. For me, Ryan Tannehill, again, just a guy who I completely, I bought into completely the Tennessee efficiency. It's really their schedule. You know, now they have Baltimore, then Indy. So it's not great. So he's fallen down a couple of spots to 12 in my rankings. Still a guy who I'm willing to start. Now tight end. Trevor, go ahead. Tight end real quick. Tight end riser, tight end faller.
Okay, tight end riser. Don't give up on Jared Cook quite yet. I know people are really pissed off at him, but Jameis Winston, big familiarity with throwing to tight ends. He threw over 100 targets to Cam Brate and OJ Howard last year, so he knows tight ends really well. Cook was number two last year in average depth of targets. That's exactly what Jameis Winston wants to do in pushing the ball down the field. This year, he is still top 10 in average depth, yards per reception, and contested catch rate. So all of that, I think, bodes really well towards Jameis Winston coming in. And then the faller, I'll say Rob Gronkowski. I still think he's going to be good. I just don't know if he's going to be this like lock top five tight end material that a lot of people still thought he was going to be.
How about you, Yates?
Mark Andrews, moving back up from 6 to 3. I had moved him down last week, but seeing him be more involved from a target share perspective this past week was encouraging for me. So, and again, in the tight end landscape, someone like Mark Andrews absolutely belongs in the top tier if he's seeing those targets. And then Robert Tonyan, from tight end 12 to tight end 14, he's just not going to be it this year.
Yeah, Robert Tonyan was my faller as well. My riser is Eric Ebron, mainly just because I basically want any piece of this passing game. Again, still outside the startable tight ends. My other faller a little bit for tight end, and not crazy though, was Mike Gesicki, who again just hasn't really produced that well. I guess for a tight end, frankly, 40 yards isn't the worst thing in the world. But, you know, again, another guy who I think is outside of the range of guys that we're going to rely on. All right. Let's finish up here with a couple of listener mailbag questions. We can go through this rapid fire. Trevor, from Christopher Sikora, would you prefer Miles Gaskin or Raheem Mostert rest of season? Two injured running backs. Who do you like?
I guess Raheem Mostert, because he's got the higher ceiling, and Miami could throw any guys out there. So I would say Mostert.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, not particularly excited about either one of them, but I'll take Mostert.
I'll go with Mostert. Hopefully, you know, after the bye week, he comes back and, you know, if he gets the work that he was expecting him to get, then he should be valuable. From Joel MP Talks, with Drew Brees out, would you rank Taysom Hill as a top 12 tight end going forward if he has eligibility there? This is a question I get a lot, by the way. Where would you put Taysom Hill as a tight end? I mean, he's going to get more and more carries coming in here. He's going to factor in. So what do you think?
I was going to say, like, if you can play him at tight end, I guess, because the tight ends are normally trash this year. Yep. So, look, if you get some sort of cheap touchdown from Taysom Hill, yeah, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of think the answer is yes here. What do you think, Gates?
I was laughing because I was anticipating, like, the quarterback question. So then when you said top 12, I was like, oh, no. And then you went to tight end. It just made me laugh.
Yeah.
With Taysom Hill, I can't consciously recommend, or, you know, in good conscience recommend recommend Taysom Hill.
Kyle's scared to be great. That's all there is to it.
To Taysom Hill is a top 12, so he'll be outside that range for me.
All right, I'm going to consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously recommend him as a top 12 tight end because, oh my God, the landscape is horrific, and let's just get somebody in there who I think is going to factor in. He's going to do something crazy going forward here.
At the very least, it will give you something to talk about the other people in your league. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could boast that this is the Taysom Hill game for you all week and at least have some fun with it.
And I remember his name. Was it Joe Webb? Whoever was the quarterback for the Vikings in like one random game.
Yeah, Joe Webb.
Right,
absolutely.
Who had wide receiver eligibility, and I plugged him in a wide receiver just because it was amazing. Just because I was like, look at me. And it was my championship game, and I did it, and I was like, look at me.
Oh, yeah. If you plug in Taysom Hill into your tight end spot and you win your matchup, you need to like get a sign made, like put on a parade, like that you won that matchup.
Listen, I have to tell this short story. My cousin asked for a Joe Webb Vikings jersey from his parents for Christmas after that one game he went off, and they actually got it for him. So I just wanted to say.
I love it. We used to do fake press conferences. This is actually how I started my writing career in fantasy, sort of. But we would do fake press conferences from, like, our managers and what we were going to do. And I was joking about, like, I did this whole long, I got to track that down, this whole long write-up about how I was going to start Joe Webb at wide receiver and sort of what a creative decision it was. Good thing I won. Otherwise, it would have been really embarrassing. Okay. Andy Mulls asks, trust or bust? Little Sunday night recap reference there for you. Is Tua, and you mentioned him earlier, is Tua Tagovailoa a starting option rest of season? Trevor?
He shouldn't be. I think that there's reason to be intrigued by him, depending on what your quarterback situation is. If you're doing matchup by matchup, like I said, he's got a really easy schedule over the next couple of weeks, but the last four games for Miami, I think, are pretty brutal. So it's not like you're going to rely on him when you really need it down the stretch for the playoffs. And so I would lean no, but I guess it kind of depends week to week over the next couple of weeks what your quarterback situation is.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I completely agree. He's matchup dependent. So if you have a good matchup, if he's going up against a good matchup, then plug him in as a streaming option. But again, I mentioned he's QB 17 in my rest of the season ranking. So that's outside the top 12, outside the locked in starters. And I think he's someone that falls into that streaming conversation.
All right, last one. Antonio Tyrone asks, is Cam Newton a starter rest of season? Go ahead, Trevor.
I guess because of the rushing touchdown ability. But again, like, you're flirting with the line there. You don't really want to be depending too much on Cam Newton. It depends what your other QB options are, because he does give you that rushing touchdown, that goal line threat. But you're not in a great situation if you're thinking about starting Cam.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, same here. Like, I think you can plug him in because of the rushing upside. He doesn't present like a huge ceiling because of his lack of work in the passing game, but you know, he's providing. I mean, he's been like the QB 12, QB 10, QB 11 the past 3 weeks here, so he's been in that range. He's not hurting your fantasy roster.
All right, Tampa Bay Trey, it was great having you on. Remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
Yeah, no, I appreciate y'all having me on. This was a lot of fun. At Twitter, at Tampa Bay Trey, and then all of my work for football covering the NFL and the NFL draft is over at thedraftnetwork.com.
All right, thanks to FanDuel. Remember, new users get a free entry to a contest all season long and a 20% deposit match up to $500. Just go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros. We'll be back tomorrow with our Start Sit show. I'll talk to you then.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.